Glory. Aren't you glad that you know who you've been bought by? Glory. The God Almighty, the God of the heavens and the universe, He purchased you and I with the blood of His Son. Amen? Come on now, that's exciting for you and I. We have a relationship with God the Father through His Son. Amen? If you would, open up your Bibles to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs. We're going to pull our foundational text out of the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament. What's on my heart tonight? I spent several hours, about 3 hours, just alone with the Lord, and He was just impressing on me that you and I just need to be reminded how much He wants to be our friend. When Jesus wants to be your friend, He wants us to be His friend. And so we're going to look at some things, and because we're going to look in and from the Word of God, and I'll ask you this question, and good, bad, ugly will come from the Word of God, how you and I answer it, because the question is, how do we see the Lord? How do I see Him in my personal life? See, we talked about this morning about setting our affection on the things above. In other words, exercising the mind toward the things of the Lord. Because the way that you see God is how He is to you. The way that you and I, the way that we think that He's going to act, react, interact with us is exactly what He can and can't do. Because if you and I think that we can't hear His voice, guess what? If we think that He's not going to spend time with us. So it's very important. And so you bear with me, and we're going to lay a foundation. And I'm going to give you just exactly the scriptures the Lord gave me while I was laying on the bed, just letting Him minister to me and bring some truth and some understanding. And you know all these verses of Scripture, but it's when we hear them in context and when we hear them under the corporate anointing that it can be a blessing to us. Let's start reading in chapter 4. This whole chapter is good, but I know we don't have time to do that. So let's start reading in verse 14, and let's look at the comparisons between two people. A group of people who have God as their friend and a group of people who do not have God as their friend. They don't even know Him. Look at verse 14, Proverbs 4:14. If you're there, say amen. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. You see what our nation is doing? You and I, we're not following in that path. We're following the Lord. He said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, unless they become a stumbling stone, a stumbling block. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of the wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But here's where you and I come in. Look at verse 18. Mark this down in your Bible app, where you can put it on your rearview mirror, on your bathroom mirror, on your refrigerator, where you can keep it close to your heart. But the path of the just, say, He's talking about me. Come on, you're justified by Jesus. Amen. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. More and more until you get mature, till I get mature in Jesus, but more and more until the sounding of that last trumpet, the coming of the Lord. He said, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not what they stumble. They don't even know what they're tripping over. They can't even see it. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, and keep them in the midst of thy heart. Keep the word of God in your heart. I keep it in my heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them, and their health, their medicine to all of their flesh. But here's why we came here. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart by guarding your heart is what it's saying. Two different Hebrew words. But keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues, the boundaries of life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We come boldly to the throne of grace right now. We thank you that each one of us, each believer, we have the Holy Spirit who is our teacher our guide. He is the anointing in our lives. So meet us right here where we're at tonight. And by the anointing, let every yoke, let every misunderstanding, let every limitation of the flesh, of the world, of the devil, ultimately be destroyed off our lives. And help us to sit down and let you be our friend, and we learn and become the true friend that you desire us to be. Help us to be able to change the way that we look and see you. Let us only see you through the Word of God, not through our experiences. In the name of Jesus, let false experiences, let the work of the enemy, let those fall tonight, and let us have a fresh vision of who you are and what you're wanting to do in us and through us. Just lead us each one and help us be bound together with the cords that cannot be broken. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen. Hallelujah. So let's get this in our heart tonight. He said that you and I, we're supposed to be walking every day in a place that's brighter and brighter. And so your path is not getting darker. It doesn't matter what this nation's doing. It doesn't matter what this world is doing. You and I, this world is not our light. Jesus Christ, he said that he was the light of the world, and he is that light that is in every believer. And so you and I, we're in a place where our light is only going to increase, but the way it's going to increase is that we keep our heart. You got to know that the devil is after your heart. He's trying to change what you think is acceptable. He's trying to change what I think is acceptable, and he's working slowly. The devil doesn't care how long it takes to bring people into deception. He's willing to wait the long term. So you and I have got to be so cautious that we don't compromise in any form or fashion, because even the smallest of compromise, it's an avenue for the devil to get a hook in your heart, a hook in my heart, to cause us to look at things differently. If you and I went and we brought our grandparents into this situation that we're expressing a work of the enemy, no doubt. It's been expressed clearly and evidently. If they got to sense that, if they got to see that, they would be in shock. There is no way that they would think that we would accept what's going on. No way. Because things that, just think about it, it hasn't been too long. When was it? Was it in 88 when Gary Hart was running for president? I got a little picture of him sitting on Donna's Rice's lap. That ended that campaign immediately. But today, no. The more abhorrent you are to the things of God, the more you're going to be accepted. And how did this happen? Slowly. Over a period of time. And so he says here, he said, I want you to keep your heart with all diligence. And that word keep, like I said, it means to protect, to maintain, and to obey. Now, your automobile, you protect it. Come on, when you get out in the salt in the wintertime, you try to wash that salt out from underneath the bottom, because you know what's going to happen. You maintain that vehicle. You change the oil. You keep the fluids checked. All of these things. That's what he's telling you now. We've got to make sure that we do what it is needed to stay on top of what the devil wants to do. So he said, keep your heart with all diligence. And this word diligence, it's really translated, it's the guard. It's the guard post, and it's the prison. In other words, keep your heart by the guard. The true guard is Jesus Christ. The guard post is letting him be the one that sits on your heart to show you what's right, what's wrong, to show you the way you should go. And then let him put everything that's not of him in a prison. Those things that would tempt you, that would draw you, let him close those things off from your life, from my life. Amen? All right, so let's go to the New Testament. Hold that thought in your mind. Go to Matthew chapter 25, and let's look and see how we got to be so cautious in the way that we see the Lord. Because he said there, keep your heart with all diligence. So if we're not careful, there's going to be somebody that's going to tell us about the Lord, and we're going to take their testimony above the Word of God. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, somebody asks prayer about something, and then as soon as you get down to prayer, somebody will say, well, let me tell you what happened to me. Or let me tell you what happened to my grandma or my grandpa or my cousin or my neighbor. I'm sorry what happened, but we don't need to hear that. were trying to pray the prayer of faith, and I'm sorry what happened in that situation, but just because that situation happened doesn't mean it has to happen to you and I. Amen? So keep your heart. Because what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to get you to change your vision of the Lord by somebody else's testimony, somebody else's expression, somebody else's heartache. My heart aches for them. I'm sorry. But if I told you every time that I got let down in prayer, you would never pray. But it's not God's fault. The reason why I got let down in prayer, because I wasn't praying the word. I was praying out of selfish situations or circumstances, because every time I've prayed the word, God has showed me what I needed and how he would work in that. And it was always the best. Amen. All right. So you know the story very well, but let's look, read a little bit of this to get a background. Matthew 25, look at verse 14. Let's look at the parable of the talents. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling, visiting into a far country, into a foreign land." In other words, Jesus said, "I'm fixing to go away. I'm going to go back to heaven, but I'm going to leave you here, and you're going to have the opportunity, the possibility to do some things for me. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Aren't you glad that you're God's steward? Come on, a steward takes care of something that's not his own. God trusts you that much. God trusts you. When the devil tries to say, "Oh, you're not worth this and not worth that," say, "Hey, devil, I get to use the name of Jesus." And you tremble at that name. Amen? So we got to hold on to the truth, not let anything shake us. It says, "And he gave five talents to one, to another two, to another." He gave talents to one, to another two, to another one, to every person, every man, according to their several ability, according to their anointing, is what it says in the Greek. And straightway, he took his journey. So tonight, you're sitting here, and you've got an anointing. You've got an enabling by the Holy Spirit inside of you that wants to come out of your life and take the talent that God has designated for these last days in and through you to bring heaven to earth. It's there. But the way we develop that talent, the way that we loose that talent, the way that we learn how to operate in it, is that we sit at the feet of Jesus and we become his friend. Amen. And he becomes our friend. Now, it says, "Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them five other talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two." But verse 18, "But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." Verse 19, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." So we know that the Lord's coming back, and we know that every Christian is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And we're going to receive those things that we have done in the body. But drop down for sake of time to verse 24. Matthew 25, 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord." Now mark this down in your Bible. Highlight your Bible app. He said, "I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawn." He said, "I knew thee." Now, let's think about this. This word "knew," it means to know by seeing, and what you see convinces you that this is how a certain person is. So let's think about this. Did Jesus ever do anything in his life that would make this man think that that's the way Jesus was? So he wasn't looking at Jesus's life. He was listening to other people talk about Jesus. He's being convinced. In other words, what's words? What's a printed word? A printed word is a picture. A printed word is a picture that comes up from your heart. It gives you a vision. Amen. So in other words, the words, whether it's printed on your heart or it's printed on a page where somebody tells you what God will do or won't do, it creates a picture. So this man, he saw a picture of what Jesus was. And it wasn't a gracious God, a giving God, a glorious God, a God of great grace. It was a God that was very judgmental and harsh. So anytime you hear something that doesn't talk about the goodness of Jesus through the provision and the promise of the cross and all of those things, you need to what? Check it by the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't match this, throw it away. Amen? Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. See, I've had things in my life that I didn't know about Jesus, and I put Jesus in a box. I don't want him to be in a box, do you? I want him to be in all of his glory. That's what we talked about this morning. And I want him to be revealed to me, and I want to understand him, and I want to know his heart. And that's available to all of us, every believer, amen? Now notice what he said. He said, I knew that thou art a hard man. Now, is that the truth? Let's just look at, just take a moment and look at, let's go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We just finished the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. And we're in the book of Titus now, chapter 1. We finished the first four verses. But I want you to look, let's be reminded what the Bible says about Jesus and about our Father. Look at Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in what?
Mercies.
For his great love wherewith he loved us. Does that sound like a hard man? Now, we won't take time to go there because I know we don't have time because I got so much going through my spirit. But look at Ezekiel chapter 11 and Ezekiel chapter 36. It says that God's going to give you and I a new heart and a new spirit that can know him. Now, if he had a hard heart, he wouldn't have to give us a new heart to know him. Amen? So see how this man with the one talent, how he has been lied to and he's been deceived. Our God is rich in mercy. To be mercy means you're soft and pliable. That's why you and I can be soft and pliable. We can be just like Jesus. Amen? Okay. Go back to Matthew 25. He said, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. Once again, is that the truth? No, it's a lie. Remember John chapter 12, we won't turn there, but you make note of it, about 31, 32, and 33, Jesus is talking. And he talks about how a corn of wheat falls in the ground. And it brings forth much fruit. He was talking about his life. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to sow my life into this earth that there may be much fruit, that you and I might be saved. So this here is not truth. Now, isn't this so sad? This man lived his whole life with the talent that God gave him. And I know this represents money. I understand that. But we're not getting into natural talents. But the calling, the gifting that God had for him, he hid it in the earth. He hid it in the earth, in himself. And this word hid is crypto. Every time I read that and I think about that word crypto, I think about when you got the croup. You know, your body, what does it do? It produces all that stuff and it hides. It covers over the germ trying to kill it out of your body. The devil wants you and I to kill out of what God's put in us. Verse 25, he said, and I was afraid. See, anything that you and I think about Jesus that makes us afraid, not reverence, but fearful, it's not the truth. It's a lie. Jesus wants us to reverence him, but he wants us to be his friend. I don't know about you, I've never had a friend that I was afraid of. I had enemies. He said, I was afraid. So think about it. This man had something inside of him, but he lived his whole life afraid to let it out. We're talking about tonight finding our best friend. How to find Jesus and how to make him our best friend. And I was afraid and I went and I hid that talent in the earth. Now notice this. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He said, I went out. He said, instead of staying in, this word went out, it means he departed from where the Lord had him and he went his own way. But now when he's called back before Jesus, he said, lo, here's what you gave me. So where was it buried at in the earth? It was buried in his heart. He didn't go dig it up. It was with, see, we carry those things around, but we cover them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said that you are a light of him, in him, by him, of the world. But he said, no man sets a candle under a bushel, but they set it on a candlestick that it gives light to all the house. He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Same word. Well, we're in the city of the Most High God, and we're set on the hill of Zion, amen? And we're not supposed to be hid. So the things that God's gave you and I, let's let it shine. But see, the whole point here is that this man, he got false information about Jesus. Why do you think we have so many churches, so many different denominations? I don't like what this one teaches, so I'm going to go to this one, or I'm going to start another one. Not everybody's right. Guess what? I'm not right on everything. I have to be changed and corrected. But praise God for the Holy Spirit that loves us enough to change us and corrects us. Amen? But he wants to be our friend so he can show us where we're at. How many's ever had a friend to let you down? We all have, right? But that friendship, that love was so strong that you were willing to what? See, I let the Lord down. But he's willing to still be my friend, amen, and to lift me up to where the standard that he has for me. Oh, glory. Okay. So let's think about this just for a minute. Here this man is. He doesn't understand who Jesus is. He doesn't understand anything about his heart. And so you and I want to be in a place in the position where we help one another. We help those that the Lord brings in our life to be able to see Jesus in the proper way. Amen. And Jesus said that I've gave everybody according to their several ability, according to their anointing, according to their unction in their life. I've gave everybody a certain amount of talents. So let's go, we're in Matthew, let's go to John 14, and let's start seeing some things, because the Lord is trying to get you and I, this part of the body of Christ, this church, he's trying to get us to a place where we start doing what Jesus did, and we start believing that we have dominion, that we have authority in Jesus. You've got the name of Jesus, I got the name of Jesus, that is all authority. Amen. And so we need to start doing some things. But we've got to see that we've got this intimacy, this relationship with Jesus, this friendship where we'll do what he tells us to do. Now, you know this very well. But look, he starts in verse number 11 for sake of time. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So in other words, you and I, we know about the work of Jesus. We know the work of the cross. Because his spirit is in my spirit. His spirit is in your spirit. It bears witness that I'm born again, that you're born again, that we have this relationship. So that work of the cross, Jesus is saying, believe me for everything I've done up to this point. But he's pointing to you and I to believe in the cross. And he said, if we truly believe in that, we'll understand this intimacy, this relationship. We'll understand that what Jesus has done, he wants us to live in and from that reality, that truth. And look what he says. You know that everybody in here can quote it. Look at verse 12. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly. This is a judicial term. This is what, like you would swear in a court of law. Verily, verily, I say unto you, amen and amen, he that believeth on me. How many believers we got tonight? See, it comes back to what I believe. Do I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do I believe that he's gave me a talent or two talents or whatever? Do I believe that I have this intimacy, this relationship? Yes, I do. You do too. Amen. So he said, the person that is amening, that is coming in agreement, that believes on him, the works that I do, shall he do also. So what did Jesus do? Everywhere Jesus went, come the Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all, how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. How did he do it? For God was with him. Well, God's with you and I because we're friends. He's my friend. He's your friend. We're friends in this intimacy. And so here we are. We got this reality. Jesus said, if I would simply take his statement, amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly, if I would believe him, that is a judicial law. He said, if I would believe on that, the works that he does, I can do. How can I do it? Because I'm friends with Jesus. You're friends with Jesus. We have that talent. We have the promise, the provision. So Jesus, when the leper come to Jesus in Matthew chapter, what is it, 8? And the leper said, Lord, if you will, Jesus said, I'm willing. All right? So when you and I see somebody sick or somebody in need of prayer, we don't have to say, I wonder if the Lord wants me to do something. Yes, the Lord wants us to do something. That's why he showed them to us. But see, we're waiting on God. We're waiting on instructions that's already been given. He said, the works that I do, shall he or she, shall they do also. Notice this. And greater works than these shall he or she do, because I go unto my Father. So now Jesus is ascended. When he ascended, when he went to the Father, what did he say he would send back? Yes, Sister Michelle, the Holy Spirit. And so now the same anointing that Jesus had as he walked this earth abides in every believer. So I've got to get so in the place of friendship with Jesus that I take him at his word. And when he says that the works that he did, I can do, that you can do, then we need to what? Realize it's not a suggestion, it's a command, but it's an opportunity. See, it's all in how I'm thinking about Jesus. Well, do I want to pray with this person? Yes, we do. The flesh doesn't, but our spirit does. Will God do anything? I don't know if God will do anything. No. Jesus always done something. Did he not? Has he changed? So see, I've got to get this, all this mindset that's contrary to the truth of what Jesus looks like, what Jesus sounds like, what Jesus does, and I've got to cast all of that down, and I've got to walk in my best friend's truth. Amen? He's our best friend. Now notice what happens. When you're in that place where we're doing the works of the Lord, he said, notice the and verse 13, because they're tied together. And whatsoever you shall ask, whatever you desire. This is even translated require in one place, two places in the Bible. Whatever you require to be able to do the works that Jesus said you and I could do. He said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So today, when you and I go in the name of Jesus, everything that we do, we're doing in the Son, and we are sons of God. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that. John 1 and 12 said that when we believed on that word, that he gave us power to become the sons of God because we believed on the name. All right, so that's who we are. So we can ask, but instead of asking about certain things, when we know the perfect will of God, we need to demand it from the devil. When you see the devil attacking somebody, you're not demanding it of God, but you're speaking the name of Jesus and you're demanding the devil get his hands off their life, because that's what Jesus did. When death swallowed up Lazarus, he talked to the Father, but he makes this great statement. He said, Father, I'm just praying this prayer right now where everybody else can hear it. I've done talked to you. And I know what your will is. So Lazarus, come forth. See, some things we have to do to help other people, but then other things, when everybody's on the same page, we just need to what? Speak the word of God. Because we're friendly with God, He's friendly with us. We have that revelation. We have that unction. Amen? It's possible. And it's not only possible, it's the way that God is trying to move us toward. Amen? In these last days, the Lord wants to show up and show out like never before. Do you believe that? Go with me to the Old Testament. We'll come back to the New. Hold your place right there because we'll be back to the 15th chapter in a moment. But go to Exodus chapter 33. I want you to see if this was possible under the old covenant. See, Hebrews 8:6 tells you and I that we've got a better covenant established on better promises. So if we've got a better covenant than what we're fixing to look at, then how glorious is it supposed to be? Look at Moses in Exodus 33. For sake of time, just look at one verse, verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Now notice this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, how? See, we've got to be so careful because Scripture gets twisted and turned. Well, no man's ever seen God's face because they would die. We've got to understand about the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord. We've got to understand some ways that God revealed Himself under the in the Old Testament as a prelude, as a precursor, as a shadow of the New. But and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Now notice what happens. Highlight this in your Bible app, in your Bible. As a man speaketh unto what? Oh, glory. Glory. Jesus wants to be your, this is Jesus, okay? This is the pre-incarnate Christ talking to Moses, making him a deliverer, making him the a pastor, a shepherd of perhaps as many as 3 million people. He's showing him what to do in this situation before everything gets turned over to Joshua. But I want you to think about this. God wants to talk. Now, if he'd done that under the old covenant, how much more will he do that under the new covenant with you today? See, we got it in our head because new age has all these types and shadows, and we get freaked out by terminology and things that wording that is used. And all of these things, you can see Jesus in the Spirit. I can see Jesus. And every time I open this Bible and read it, He's revealed to me because what the Holy Ghost just say? The printed word brings a picture. Isn't that exciting? So we can see Jesus. We can see what His will is, what His plan is. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Notice, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So let's think about this just for a moment. Now, James chapter 4, it starts, what is it, down about verse 2. It tells you and I that we have not because we ask not, right? So, if Moses, he asked for this encounter. Of course, you can go back and read the previous chapters and get all this in your heart. We don't have time. I wish we did. But he asked for this encounter, and he asked for this, and he got what he asked for. So, you and I, if we want to really experience Jesus as our friend, all we've got to do is ask. Remember on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, the disciples there, they act like they were in a place, in a situation where I won't say they acted like, they were in complete fear because of after Jesus getting crucified. And they're talking and they meet Jesus, and Jesus appears to them in another form. They don't recognize Him. And they have this great conversation as they're walking. And when they come to that place, Jesus acted like He was going to go on, and they said, no, come and abide with us because the day is far spent. Come have supper with us. And He come in to them, remember? And He broke bread, and in the moment He broke bread, their eyes were opened, and they said, this is the Lord. That's what we're talking about. That Jesus is wanting to reveal Himself, if we'll ask. They said, they asked Him to come with. If they hadn't asked, He would have kept walking. Three times in the New Testament, Acts 10:34, I believe it is, it says that God, Peter, out of the mouth of Peter, he says, God is no respecter of persons. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2 says, hey, God's no respecter of persons. Peter, 1 Peter 1:22, I believe it is, he tells us the very same thing. There's three witnesses. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. God is no respecter of persons. So you've got the powerhouses of the church, the pillars of the church, telling us that God's no respecter of people, of persons. So I need to ask. I want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to be his friend. He's got secrets that he wants to tell to you and I. He wants to reveal to us. I don't like sitting there or laying there on my bed praying about something for the 100th time when I know that I'm just praying because I know I'm supposed to pray. I want to pray what my friend tells me to pray. See, my friend searches the hearts of his children. And then he reveals the secret. And you and I get to pray the secret out with the Lord. And then the Lord touches that situation because we come in agreement with him. He come in agreement with us. And the person you prayed for, they don't even know anything about it. But all of a sudden their life is changed. Amen? Because the right word was prayed in the right season because of a friendship. See, if we kept reading there in James, what is it, James 4:4 or something like that? It says that you can't be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. The world wants to influence how you see God. Oh, God wants to, he wants to zap you. He wants to fry you like a piece of bacon. No, God wants to save you. He wants to save me. He wants to save this lost and dying world. He wants to show them what it's like to come up out of sin. Amen. Okay, go back to John, this time the 15th chapter. Look what Jesus says, starting in, for sake of time, verse 11. John 15:11. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, your joy might be complete. If you don't have joy in a situation, let the Lord talk to you about it, and you will have. He'll change your understanding about it. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for you and I, that we could be his friend. Now, there's people in my life, and I'm sure there's people in your life that you wanted to be friends with. They wouldn't be your friend. Amen? For whatever reason. But the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the sinless Lamb of God, his desire is to be your friend. But not just that, you to be his friend. See, it's one thing to be a friend to somebody, but it's another thing for them to be a friend to you. Because see, if I'm a friend to somebody, that's just dependent upon me. But when they decide to be a friend to me, that's dependent upon them. And Jesus is saying, everything I got in me that overcome the devil, that defeated hell, death, and the grave, that took the keys away from him, I want to be your friend. We're talking about getting out of sadness, getting out of fear, getting out of anxiety, getting out of limitation, and coming to the place where everything Jesus has gave us is not hidden in ourselves, but it's shining. Amen? Verse 14, bear with me just a minute. I'll let you go in just a second. You are, what tense is that? Verse 14, you are my friends. Glory. Now he's talking to them in faith on the other side of the cross. Because he's calling them friend. He's naming them friend. He's putting that label on them in what's going to happen on the other side of the cross. That's powerful. So if Jesus could call them on that side of the cross his friend, what can he do for you and I on this side of the cross if we'll just simply take him at his word? Amen? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. what's his command? That we love him and love one another. But see, when we talked about this morning, when he gives you a word, when he gives me a word, there's an anointing on that word to bring it to pass. So the pressure's not on you, it's not on me. The word is what does it. That's why you can do greater works. That's why I can do greater works, because we have the word from the Lord. Amen. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, doulios, bondservant. I don't call you a bondservant, for the bondservant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Knoweth not. Now get this in your heart tonight. I want you to take it home with you. But I have called, I've labeled you, I've marked you out as my friend. I have called you friends. Now notice what a friend means to the Lord. Mark this down in your Bible app, in your Bible. For all things that I have heard of the Father, I have made known unto you. For all things that I've heard of the Father, I have made known to you. Yes, he's talking to the 12. He's talking to the 70. But he's talking to you and I tonight. You can know what you need to know. The devil's the one that's made us think that God will only answer those who fast 40 days, who are sinless. Have you ever met anybody sinless? I've only met one, and his name was Jesus. We've got to get all of that out of the way. Because see, if we're not careful, we're putting the pressure on us about works. No, it's not what I can do or can't do. It's what the cross done for me. It's God's grace. So you're saved by grace. You can live your life by grace. But guess what? We can have a friend with Jesus by grace that will enable us to know what he wants us to do. So think about what Jesus said. Jesus said, while I walked this earth, I walked it in the flesh, but I looked up into heaven and I saw what the Father wanted done, and I done it. I listened to what the Father was saying and I said it. That's the works. But Jesus said, you and I could go beyond that. We could even do greater works. Have you ever thought about Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of those prophets? They wanted to live where you and I are living now. But Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet of all. Now, have you ever wrapped your mind around that? John the Baptist didn't do one miracle. Think about the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. 16 miracles, 32 miracles. But yet Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest. See, all Isaiah got to do was talk about, hey, in 700 years, Jesus is coming. John the Baptist got to say, lo, Jesus is here. That's the greater message. Because thank God for what was prophesied then, but you and I need to know what's happening right now. But Jesus made this incredible statement, if you look at it. He said, but as great as John is, he's least in the kingdom of heaven. Luke 17:21, lo, the kingdom is within you. They told Jesus was coming. John said, Jesus is here. You and I bring him to a lost and dying world. Because you're his friend. Amen? Okay. Henceforth I call you not servants, but the servants know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, what God is wanting to do in this body of his whole body, but I know what I can't speak for other bodies and entirely other than being general, but I know what he's wanting to do in this particular part of the body. He's wanting you and I to be such in a place of intimacy with him that we let those talents, we let those giftings and those callings start coming out of our life where we can edify one another, but we can reveal Jesus to those who are lost and undone. Amen? So let's close with 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you hold in your heart everything that we've said. And remember about the man who hid the talents of the Lord in his heart. And look at what Paul, this 14th chapter, of course, is about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I want you just to look what he said in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Paul says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15. "How is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." In other words, Paul says that the believer that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that you can pray in tongues, then you can talk to your best friend, and the Holy Spirit can reveal what you prayed in tongues, and you can pray that out with your understanding. Whose will was it? Was it God's will? Paul said, "I will." See, we're asking God for something that's already been provided for us. Paul said, it's not about the Father's will, it's about what I'm willing to do. Am I willing to pray in tongues? Am I willing then to listen by the Spirit and pray out what God gave me in tongues, pray it out in English to where it'll be a blessing to everybody? See, when I pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, it edifies us. It builds us up. But when we interpret what was prayed, then it's the same or equivalency to prophecy, and everybody is blessed. Okay, drop down to verse 22. Paul says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Of course, we know that from Acts chapter 2 on the day at Pentecost. To them that believe not. But to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? Because tongues is not for them. Amen? Verse 24, but if all prophesy. Prophesy means to speak under the anointing, under the unction of the Spirit of God. But if all prophesy that are come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. In other words, God wants you and I to be in a place where we trust in these talents, these giftings, these callings, these anointings that's in our life. We're such a friend with Jesus that we're always praying in the Spirit, but we're getting the interpretation, and God's preparing our day. He's ordering our steps, and he's placing people in our life to where we can bless them in the church, but also you can take it outside the church. But I want to see both of those things come together perfectly. I want us to minister to them outside the church, and I want to see them come in the church. And I want every one of us to be in our place, in our position, where God can use us. And we say, hey, this is the day of greater works. See, people are looking for a word of truth. When you speak a word of truth that is brought by the Holy Spirit, it'll fit right in their heart. That'll change everything. The very first time I ever went to Sister Mary's, Dawn and I were there, and they had a visiting lady there, Sister Burnett. And a lot of altar activity was going on, and I was very standoffish, and I was staying back out of the way because I didn't know if I wanted to be involved in all that or not. Anyway, and she come over to me, and she said, "Can I pray with you?" Yeah, I guess so. And so she started praying with me. And then when she got done, she said, "Are you a minister?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, I see you standing behind the pulpit with the Bible open and the words going out." Really? Okay. So I laid that on the shelf. And then several years went by, and here we are tonight. See? That was a word And it went into my heart, even though I didn't understand it. I didn't know what to do with it because I hadn't been around that. It was there and it was working. So what God's wanting to do, He's wanting to get you and I in the place where we believe you've got the Holy Ghost and you can help somebody. Not everybody's going to listen to me talk all the time, but they'll listen to you. And God wants to use the whole body. He wants to speak through you. He wants you to be edified. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to know that you can lay hands on somebody, that you can prophesy into somebody's life, that you can cast out demons. Amen? He wants you to know that. Notice what it says. Verse 25. If you'll be willing to prophesy, to speak out of by the unction of the Holy Spirit, and thus are the secrets of the person's heart, his heart made manifest, revealed. There's that word. Remember, if I see Jesus this morning, I seek. I'm in that place where I'm seeking Him and I'm setting my affection. But then that seeking caused me to render Him apparent in my own life where I can render Him apparent in other people's life. And thus are the secrets of His heart made manifest, so that falling down on His face, He will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And there's no doubt the Spirit of God is in Sister Mary. There's no doubt that Sister Mary is very faithful in giving a prophetic word. There's no doubt that He was in Sister Burnett. There's no doubt that He's in Brother Stewart. These different people that you and I have been around and Brother Bear. The Spirit of God is there. So God's no respecter of persons. So what you've seen the Lord do in your own life through somebody else, know that God done that to help you and to bless you. But He also wants you to know then that He can use you in that same manner because it's real, it's true, it's genuine. Amen. Okay. One more verse and I will quit. Drop down to verse 31 and you read this in your home study time, please. But verse 31 says, He says, for ye may all what? Every person that is born again, every person that is blood washed, every person that has the Holy Spirit in their life, and you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit, for you may all prophesy, how? One by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. See, you are the one person that the Spirit of God wants to talk through that person will hear and receive. God knows that. He knows that. See, because they've looked at your life and they feel comfortable with you. They trust you. There's a kindred spirit there where they might look at somebody else, might give them the same message under the same anointing, and it don't work. Why? Because until they get sanctified, till they get saved and sanctified, they're seeing things through their hurts, through their experiences and all those things. So God knows all of this. Amen. Okay. Here's what the Lord wants us to see and understand. I love this. There was a 10-year-old brother and he had a 5-year-old sister. And ever since he started going to school and learned how to read, this was a single parent home, and the dad was raising these two children, and so he had this 10-year-old son very involved in his sibling's life, and so one of the things that this 10-year-old brother did with his sibling sister was he would always be the one that would read her a bedtime story. He would read her a bedtime story, and then he would pray with her, and she would get ready to bed, and then the dad would come and tuck them in, and that would finish the day. But as each year went by, he got less and less interested in reading his sister a bedtime story. So he thought, hey, I know what to do. He just went and just opened up his laptop, and he read several stories and recorded them on a MP3 file. And he went and got an MP3 player that was in the house. And he downloaded all of these bedtime stories on this MP3 player. And he took them to his sister and he handed it to his sister. He said, now you can hear any story you want, anytime. and you can hear it over and over. All you got to do is just push play. She looked at the MP3 player. She looked back up at her brother. She said, "Yeah, but there's no place for me to lay my head on your shoulder. There's no place for me to sit in your lap." Every time you and I open this, we're laying our head. Remember John the Beloved there at the Last Supper? He's got his head laid in the bosom of Jesus. That's why he's called the disciple of love. Amen. The apostle of love. Because he knew all about that. He laid his head right there. Well, that's what Jesus wants you and I to do. He wants us to be so assured. Brother Corey mentioned it this morning, quoting out of the epistle of 1 John. Perfected love casts out all fear. But we've got to have our love perfected. And when it's perfected, because we know the truth and the truth makes us free, then that fear is gone. Amen. But somebody wants to lay their very heart in Jesus. But the only way they'll be able to do it is if you show them how. Amen. We pave the way. Everything that we do, good or bad, positive or negative, enforceful or destructive, is determined about how we see Jesus and what we're willing to do. Amen? Come on. We're so close to seeing signs and wonders because we see the devil doing all sorts of signs and wonders. Come on. He's working the very plan of hell in our nation. You think God isn't going to use his church like never before? He's going to use us. So I want you to know that God's calling us closer to him. And he wants to show us how he calls and how he considers us his best friend. Let's let it be. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you for who you are and what you are. There's no God like you. Thank you, Lord, for letting them be patient with me and allowing me the freedom and the liberty to bring forth what you have placed in my spirit. I am so grateful. I'm eternal grateful for that opportunity and for their attention. I ask that you bless them right now like never before. I ask that you bring revelation and understanding and let them just get a fresh grip as they lay in your lap, as they lay their head on your shoulder. Let them see that the word is true. And that you're a God of love and you're a God of great power and force. You're a God that makes sin disappear in your own shed blood. Let that unleavened bread be broken before our eyes and let us see what we've never saw before, Father. Let us partake of some things right now by the Spirit and let us see at a depth and a level that brings understanding that will motivate us into your perfect will. Oh, I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight, make yourself an altar, and just close your eyes and just let the Spirit of God show you what Jesus is wanting to reveal to you tonight. He's got something for each person here. He wants you to see something you never saw before, understand something either that you never understood or in a fullness that you never understood before. It's available. He wants you to hear him talking to you face to face as a man talks to a friend. Would you come and do that? Just lay yourself in his presence. Let him bring some truth, some understanding in your life. Let him embolden you and empower you to be all that he called you to be.